Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Winds of Change. My name is David Carollo and I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony. It's 12 o'clock, so let us begin with the Angelus, if we can. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now, and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold, a handmaid of the Lord, be it done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we, to whom the incarnation of Christ thy Son was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Always good to start with that prayer. And I look for the day when we in society will do that as a Christian society, where at 6:12 and 6, we will honor God in that beautiful prayer, looking at our salvation. Yesterday, we celebrated the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So appropriate to start with that prayer today. You know, it's a very special day for all Catholics. Without Mary, we do not have Jesus. It was her immaculate conception and sinless life that brought the Savior into the world. The chant refers to her as the highest honor of our race. Conceived without original sin, she, like Adam and Eve, was graced with infused knowledge. Unlike Adam and Eve, she maintained sinlessness and maintained connection with Almighty God. Although the Annunciation brought her the mission that she was created for, she knew from birth that she had a special life to fulfill. She did in fact fulfill it by staying faithful to her call. This is something that we in this era need to ponder. You know, many good people in the Christian era have followed the lead of Our Lady and of Our Lord, of course. You know, dedicated priests, consecrated men and women, and focused lay people worked to build a civilization that we enjoyed for many years. Today, however, we see a deterioration of that civilization. Can we attribute this to the abandonment of our Catholic call? I think we really can. You watch the news, you get, in this category, you can't make this stuff up, what's happening out there right now. And I think that it's, went to confession the other day, and this wasn't my penance, but as part of it, Father said to me, why don't you stop watching the news? Okay. Because my anger was boiling over, and what I was upset about. And he said, you have righteous anger, he says, but it does no good to destroy yourself with it. Good point. He says, you know, you get as much news as you need, and then go out and act, pray and act. And I think that's what it's all about. You know, I um, I am the executive director of the World of Positive Fatima, Our Lady's Blue Army. I operate out of Washington, New Jersey. Of course, I'm here in Chicago often, and always happy and honored to be part of Winds of Change when I am here. And it's a because it's a beautiful show, and I know the network is growing with good news lately, and I'm so happy to see that happening, because this not only this show, but the other things that run concurrent with it, I think, could be really, really beneficial to our Catholic lives. It's what we need to be. You know, today we are celebrating St. Peter Claver, and a very interesting saint, of course. You know, St. Peter Claver was born in 1580. He was from a working-class family in Catalonia, Spain. He joined the Jesuits, and just go back to the Jesuits. What a noble order they were founded to be. I don't know, in many cases, many have kind of fallen away from it, but the nobility of that order and what they brought to the world is amazing. You know, he applied to work in the South American missions. You know, after his ordination, he was ordained actually in South America, in Cartagena, which is now Colombia. He declared himself Ethiopian service, the slave of the Africans. He devoted himself to the multitudes of slaves who were brought to work the farms and mines, feeding, bandaging, catechizing, and fathering them. To their owners, he preached mercy. In his later years, Peter gave an annual retreat to the rough seamen who entered the port, and he died in 1654 and was canonized in 1888. Alongside Alphonsus Rodriguez. And it's interesting, the thousands and thousands of people that he baptized, so many of the enslaved people that he baptized, and then he stayed with them as much as he could to encourage them to live good Catholic Christian lives. And I think that's really the thing. You look at our church today, and you look at where we're at. We need, as Catholics, not just priests and sisters and such, but we as Catholics overall, we need to keep working with people to not only become Catholic and pray, but to maintain their Catholic identity, because we're in a society which is just pulls us in a totally different direction. I think there's a I head up an apostolate at the World Apostolate of Fatima, the Blue Army. We are an international organization, and you know, obviously we're founded to promote primarily the message of Fatima, which is nothing more than the Catholic faith. That was Our Lady brought that in 1917 to remind us that we weren't living that way. I mean, that's a fact. 1916, the Angel of Peace brought this way of life to the three shepherd children, three little shepherd children, illiterate, you know, brought them something that the world would have to accept. And that was, I think, what it's all about. It's the humility. It was coming at a time, as you well know, the world was in a real extreme state of flux. And I think that, I guess maybe nothing like today, but what's happening today was all really, really spoken of. And it was predicted, but not, you know, not necessarily, didn't have to happen. I'm a pure believer that prophecy is only what could happen, not what is definitely going to happen. And I do believe that we always have the power through prayer and action to turn things around. I think that's what we as Catholics and Christians have to do today. And I think, you know, watching the news, if you're not upset and angry, then you're either asleep or just absolutely indifferent. I can't believe that. I mean, the things that are every day are just coming at us as people, and when I say people of God, I don't mean to be presumptuous by that, but people who are promoting what our Lord and our Lady have asked us. And if we're not just incensed by what's going on here and willing to fight for it, because if we don't fight to maintain our identity and our faith, we're going to lose it. I mean, it truly, it's happened other places. And I think this American attitude of it can't happen here, well, wake up, folks, it's happening here. And I think we have to, there's so many things out there that are just attacking us, and I guess we are a people of, our Christianity tells us to love everybody and to work for their better good, and I think that we sometimes mistake that by a passive way. You know, we certainly have to pray for people. The Fatima message says we need to pray for the salvation of souls. I know that when Our Lady showed the vision of hell to the children, and of course we all know the Fatima message, you know, and then she came back and said, you've seen hell where the souls of poor sinners go. Are you willing to offer your lives in prayer and reparation so people will avoid this fate? And that's what we have to do. And that's not new to Fatima. The Catholic faith has always told us that we are obligated to pray for the salvation of souls. You know, your family, certainly, your friends, your family, your spouse, your children, your parents, siblings. But it's got to go way beyond that. You have to be committed to really bringing faith, just like people like St. Peter Claver and the saints, the great saints that brought the faith to the world, the apostles. Our Lord said, you know, we need to, you know, bring the word to the four corners of the earth. I mean, bring it to everywhere. And the apostles did do that, and they all lost their lives for it, with the exception of one. I mean, and he actually, you know, St. John was actually martyred in reality, although he was able to walk away from it. And they all accepted martyrdom. I always look at the Fatima children. They said, well, they're the only non-martyred children saints, you know, who are not, you know, canonized, who are not martyred. Well, in a way they were, because they accepted martyrdom when they were held in that prison in August of 1917 and told if they do not recant, if they do not give the secret out to them, they would be boiled in oil. And they both said, well, we accept that. So they accepted martyrdom in reality, even though they weren't called to it. So, of course, the two younger ones, Jacinta and Francisco, died within 2 and 3 years of the apparitions from the pandemic of the time, the Spanish flu. It's kind of ironic that 100 years later, here we are dealing with the identical, or maybe not identical, but certainly a similar thing, a pandemic, which is really changing the face of this earth. I mean, it really is in very difficult ways. You know, not to minimize the dangers of a disease, but it's just the political aspects of it are becoming very scary. And I think that people just need to, you know, keep strong, because this whole difficulty that we went through with lockdowns and not being able to have access to our churches, this has really had a very difficult effect. I've had a number of conversations with priests and bishops about you know, the assumption saying that it's nice that we have access to the churches again and people are coming back, and they all kind of shake their heads no and say, no, too many people have gotten comfortable with sitting at home watching Mass and doing these things, and they're not bringing themselves to the sacraments. It is a difficulty that I think we must overcome. People have to understand that, you know, you need the sacrament. You need to be in church as much as you can. Obviously, there's always been online Masses and things like that. We at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey have been streaming Mass now for 5 years. So that's been a mainstay. We were very prepared when all of this hit last year. We just were already streaming, and we did help some local parishes to get going, because it was new to them. And I'm glad that at least people had access online, but it's not the same, you know. And we need to know that these are going to be very drastic measures to keep people from going to church anymore, because this is our faith. I mean, to not go to Mass, I mean, in my position, I don't know, if I didn't go to Mass every day, I try to get there, and I miss here and there, but if I don't get to Mass every morning, I feel like I'm having trouble doing my job. So we need our Lord. We need that connection, especially in these times when our faith is so questioned, so challenged. And, you know, there's so many people that want to relegate our beliefs to the history books, or even worse, just wipe out all history of it. That is a danger. That's a danger that we face as Catholics and as Christians overall. I mean, our whole identity, you know, this country, this world, since the fourth century has been built and defined on Christianity. I mean, I'm talking about the European culture brought to this country primarily, but many places in the world. And as much as people want to criticize and forget, you know, the good works of because of some abuses perhaps that came over to this country and other places, that it was Christianity. On the contrary, it was Christianity that tempered that type of thing. And I know I spent some time the year 2 years ago in California when we did we celebrated the 250th anniversary of the founding of the missions in California, and traveled from all the missions from San Diego to San Francisco, founded by St. Junipero Serra. And believe me, they didn't go for money. And as a matter of fact, they were going to save souls. That's why they were there. So anyway, I'd like to expand on our conditions in this world and that. We need to take a break right now. And when we return, I'd like to maybe get into some of the history and some of the things that we are fighting here. And I think maybe come to some solutions. My name is David Carollo. I'm sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grade. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located one block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
We are the students of St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to Winds of Change.
Here's some good news. We are pleased to announce that St. Stanislaus Kostka is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, in answer to our Blessed Mother's call to open the doors. The Blessed Sacrament will again be exposed all day, every day, except when masses or other services are being held. You are invited to come and pray anytime, day or night. For your safety, we ask that you practice social distancing and wear a mask. Hand sanitizer is available, and St. Stan's has increased cleaning and sanitizing of the church, and a security person will be on site. More information can be found at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. St. Stanislaus Kostka is located two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And I just listened to that last ad here about St. Stan's. Yeah, please come by and come into St. Stan's and perpetual adoration. I'm going to talk a little more later in the show on the devotion to the Eucharist, which I think that's our key to success. If we're going to win things back, this is going to be through devotion to the Blessed Sacrament and the devotions. Our apostolate is coming on a very big milestone anniversary, and as part of that, we're really promoting the things that we started in. But you know, looking back a little bit on you know where we are, what has come, and you know these things aren't. You know, like I said earlier, the priest said to me, you know, maybe you want to stop watching the news. And I said, yeah, that's probably a good idea, because get a little bit of what you need and then just don't get absorbed in it, because you can truly get hurt by, you get discouraged for one. And I think we can't be discouraged. We're Catholics, and we have the winning solution. You know, I mean, St. Paul said, we're going to win. You know, Our Lady said at Fatima, my Immaculate Heart will triumph, and it will. And I think, you know, we need to bring that about through more prayer, certainly, because that's what will hasten this triumph. But it is, you know, evil is having its day, I believe, right now. And I think that, you know, and this has been building up for many, many, many years. I think you can look at the 20th century, you know, defined by the Fatima messages, and you know, and we know, I mean, I what was said, and basically what was said is the world is not living in accord with the laws of God, and let's get back to it. And if not, these terrible things can happen. And I look at the time of, you know, the church has always been looked at as a rock on unstable ground, you know, an island of stability in a sea of rough waters. You know, thou art Peter, the rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. And most importantly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, you know, St. Peter and his successors understood that they must stand as a beacon in a desperate world. But the key here is it will not prevail against it, but it's going to get hit and going to be rocked. And the church is rocked right now by so many things. Some deserved, let's be realistic, and some scandal. And I think because we have people in the church who are like people in society in general. We all come from that same gene pool here. And if you have people in the church that aren't living up to their commitments, it's really a reflection of a society that doesn't live up to its commitments. Divorce is so rampant. The abandonment of vocations is rampant. It's a horrible time in that regard, I think. And that just reflects a people, all of us, not individually all of us, but us as a people that have just we don't take seriously what we really are charged to do. And we don't have that perseverance to get through to the end when those times get tough. But anyway, that's the temptations brought to us. The devil wants to destroy souls. And I think, the great Saint Michael prayer at the very end, it says, who prowls about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Wow. And that's what it is. He's unhappy for eternity, and he wants you to be as unhappy as him. That's unfortunate. Him, he, whatever, there's no gender, obviously, to an angel. But I say, we look at him as, and I think we have to understand, it goes back to our first parents. Their fall and the original sin and every individual sin that we've committed afterwards. And there are many. We don't have an idea of what eternity in heaven is truly like, because it's so fogged over by the amount of sin we don't see it. We're in a world, and we're also in a world that just throws constant distractions at us. We talk about the. I think about my age and my time and what I watched deteriorate in my years, and I would listen to the things that my parents would say back in when I was younger, and they would say, when I was in our day, this was unheard of. I've heard that kind of term before, and then or they talked about better times, and I always kind of chuckled in a way. I could never figure out how the Great Depression and World War II were better times. But I kind of see that there were absolutes to attach to then. And I think that's really what it is. We've been on a steady decline. In my time of coming of age in, say, the 70s into the 80s, that was, my better times, okay? But they weren't as good as theirs, I guess. And I see today, in retrospect now, looking at that time and thinking how I viewed the future back then, and see what we have today, and I can see that it's been a steady decline of so many things, of our morality. And I think, we have this, we accept a lower virtue every year. And that's why I fear for the younger people, particularly because there's, I would hear my parents and others that age say, well, I fear for you kids. Well, I got to say the same thing, but I fear for them even a little bit more, because it's bad enough what we all fell into, many of us, and by the grace of God came out of, hopefully. But I see what these kids are. It's tough. They're not inheriting the same country, that's for sure. And I apologize if I, in any way, as an adult, brought about that decline too with my own actions or inactions. And I think that we have to take that responsibility. We have to look at, that's why we have to try to make it a better world in any way we can, and it starts with us. Let there be peace on earth, let it begin with me, I think the song says. And I think that really is what it's about. But, but not feel good peace. It's got to be that peace of God that you get by living in accord with Almighty God and His rules, So I think that's really, this was so found. It wasn't just the Fatima messages where this became for it. It came forward. Go back to the popes that preceded that. Go back to, Pope Leo the 13th. He saw the storm clouds on the horizon. He wrote a beautiful encyclical on labor to counter the Communist Manifesto, because he knew that this was going to be something that was going to have it had ingredients that were going to draw people, because the Industrial Revolution was dehumanizing people. There's no doubt about it. So the Communist Manifesto was giving people, workers in many ways, something we can fight back with, but it was doing it in a secular sense. He knew that, and that's why he wrote an encyclical on the responsibilities of both management and labor when it came to dealing with people. You know, Pope Pius X, you know, he saw that this modernism that was coming was taking over. I mean, it was what he referred to as the synthesis of all heresies, because he knew that this was going to, with the technologies that were coming forth and all that, was developing a different world. And, you know, Pope Benedict XV, of course, he suffered World War One, you know, the suicide of Christian Europe, as he referred to it. And I think, you know, he saw the European monarchies, which were pro-Catholic, very, very Catholic, just being all dissolved. And I don't think that the church necessarily was supporting the concept of monarchy over other types of government, but these were governments that were very supportive of the church and supportive of the faith in general and of people's people's lives in the Catholic faith. So yes, it was a very, very difficult time for these holy fathers. It was Pope Benedict that asked for the worldwide. Pope Benedict XV had called for the worldwide novena, and on that eighth day of that novena, Our Lady appeared at Fatima. So I don't think there's a coincidence there. We can call God down on us. We can call Him down to take care of things. He wants us to do that. You know this, and you look at the devotions of Divine Mercy, which really just succeeded Fatima right after, within the next couple of years. I mean, God wants us to ask for His help, and He wants mercy, and I think He wants to give mercy, I should say, and that is really, it's there for us, it's there for the taking, but we got to get past our pride and ask. And I think, I think that these popes who saw so many things going on, there's a lot of wisdom in the chair of Peter, there truly is. I recently was reading, and I've been asked to write a series of articles on on communism in the 20th century as it pertains to the church. And I have been reading Pope Pius XI's encyclical, Divini Redemptoris. And wow, is that, it's long, but I highly recommend you download and read this beautiful encyclical. And he talks right out about communism. And he talks about, and again, not the political aspects that he's attacking necessarily. Although, you know, the system, he said, has the dangers. I want to go through it a little bit more as I go on in the show. But it's pointing out that the underlying part of communism, the communism of the 20th century, the Bolshevik communism out of Russia, and what really is from Marx and the Marxist manifesto, is this idea that God has no place, okay? You know, that is the whole crux of the thing, that, you know, we don't need God. We need it's within us. It's that existential, I guess, type of belief that everything emanates from the human being, and God is a creation of our beliefs and imaginations, or whatever you want to call it. Well, that's pretty sad. I mean, it really is very sad. It's not, we are endowed, endowed by our Creator, as our Declaration says, with certain inalienable rights from our Creator, not from our thought process, not from, you know, men and women sitting back and deciding what our dignity is. No, it's from God, and I think we have to. That's natural law. We have to understand it, but it leads to so many things. I mean, look at in 1920 when or 1917 the Bolsheviks come into Russia. 1920, the first place on earth where abortion was legal, totally legal. And what does that tell you? I mean, that evil is really what's destroying us. I mean, you come in, I mean, it's been how many years now? We've been coming on 50 years of the Roe versus Wade decision, where all abortion laws were outlawed, which is kind of not even regulated, even a medical procedure. I mean, it does defy logic when you think about it. And 50 years of that, and how many millions and millions of lives have been lost? I mean, we wonder why people don't have a respect for life, respect for the dignity of others. Well, you know, if you don't have dignity, right, respect for the dignity of the most innocent human being, you're not going to have respect for the dignity of another person, especially if someone is an aggravating individual or something. So then it moves on, you know, euthanasia, it moves on to just general hatred of people, you know, and I think we have to, this is just a real evil that we have to overcome, you know, legislatively, yes, but you don't win anything legislatively unless you have it in the hearts of people. Okay, that's really where you have to win this battle. I think to a great degree it's being won. And I think that we, because people need to understand, you know, and understand the concept, the whole idea of natural law and everything. We have to clean up our act, all of us. And I include myself in that. I have many things I have to make reparation for in my life. And I really want to do that. But I want to help others do it too. So anyway, when we come back, I have to take a break. When we come back, I'd like to get a little more into this encyclical and into these couple other things that are related to this. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
We are the students of St. Stan's La Costa Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grade. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic, social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Kostka Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
Welcome back. David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750, WNDZ. I was speaking earlier about the encyclical of Pope Pius XI. He's a little bit overlooked, I think. He's like everybody jumps from Benedict XV to Pius XII all the time, it seems. Pius XI, he suffered through many things, you know, these wars and he saw this deterioration that would happen, that had happened. Of course, he saw the Bolsheviks take Russia, and beautiful. I mean, you know, Russia was such a, I mean, there's no country in the world with more oratories dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary than Russia, traditionally. Now, I don't know how many were destroyed during the communist years, but, you know, I've been there a number of times to speak, and have always, I just really enjoyed my time there. It's such a rich culture. Despite 70 years of communism, that did everything it could to destroy that legacy, it didn't happen. And I think there's something to be said about a Christian foundation, that no matter what the attacks, oh sure, there were churches torn down, there were churches that were turned into warehouses and other things. I mean, believe me, the devastation was big, and I don't mean to imply that it wasn't, but there's certain things you can't kill. And I think, like, even in Poland is a perfect example of it. I married into a Polish family that immigrated, so I'm very, very aware of, you know, what they talk about, my mother-in-law particularly, who is a great parishioner at St. Stan's. She just loves that parish, and she'll never she'll never leave it because she gets her Polish Mass, and it's a beautiful thing. But it's funny, as things happen in this country that we tilt, as we are tilting strongly towards socialism now, she'll say, see, I told you. Now look for this, look for that. They saw this stuff. And again, the material things that we're starting to feel a little bit in this country now are really nothing, you know, compared to the deprivation of the faith that we really must fight back. I mean, Chicago particularly is such a Catholic town historically. I mean, you know, we are down. I don't know what the number of parishes, and I cannot slight, you know, the church for cutting back, because there's not the church attendance anymore, and some churches do have to be closed and consolidated. And I'm not without concern and sympathy for those who do lose the identity of their parish, because it's devastating for many people. But there is it is a reflection of a society that has not, and a church in general, where the next generation does not carry it like it was before. I know there was a time there were 500 parishes in this city, and that's half now, maybe. Maybe it's 300. I don't know the exact number. These are things that have that are part of our decline. We see it. You know, we know that something's wrong. Who's to blame? We're all to blame. You know, it's easy to say, well, I never told my children this, or I never deprived my children this. Probably true. But were we vigilant? Were we vigilant in what was happening around us as we saw this deterioration in society? I think these incredible increases in technology in recent times, and they are amazing tools. I mean, my goodness, I can have my cell phone with me, and I can use it anywhere in the world. I can, when I travel, I'm online, my office is in my briefcase, in my computer. Believe me, there is a convenience level today, which used properly is most tremendous tool. And we try to use it as well. That's what we're doing today, being on the radio. I do some television spots. I was just filming some last week down south, and I just think that it's amazing. So we have to use, you know, this technology, which is used by the evil ones too, to promote so many bad things. We have to use it for good, and I think that's what we have. No technology is morally wrong. Okay, I mean, it's morally neutral. It cannot be, because it's inanimate. But it's how we use this or anything that makes it right or wrong. So that's really how we have to look. We have to use the tools at hand to to bring the faith as much as possible. And I was looking at again, reading the encyclical Divini Redemptoris by Pius XI. He talks about one line in here, one paragraph. I think it's the third section of this. And he starts out talking about our redemption. He talks about many things. Then he said, "This all too imminent danger, venerable brethren, as you have already surmised, is Bolshevistic and atheistic communism, which aims at upsetting the social order and at undermining the very foundations of Christian civilization." That's a statement right there as to what it's all about. It's out, you know, when I see these groups that are Bolshevik groups, or they're Marxist groups that are out there, it's how interesting that it's always going after the faith. You know, if I heard these people just going after economics and things of that nature, okay, well, let me hear you out. But it's not what it is. It's always against the Catholic, the faith in general. It's not just the Catholic. It's Christian faith in general, Christians particularly, and Catholics definitely more than anything. It's always an attack against the faith of, you know, our faith and our beliefs, which really, the reality is, it was this Christian society that built the culture we have. Judeo-Christian, as we refer to it many times. I mean, and I'm not saying that Catholics or Christians are the only people that have participated, that's not the case, have participated in structuring a society. But it has been built on that idea of natural law and of you know, the Ten Commandments, our foundation, our Constitution, our Declaration of Independence. These are modeled after the Ten Commandments, which really are what has to be followed in life. So I think we, you know, and this is what the Holy Fathers here have been saying all along, that it's always been there for us. And we just need to, you know, but there's like, later in his encyclical, he says, you know, communism of today, now you're talking in the 30s, he wrote this, but communism today, he said, more emphatically than similar movements in the past, conceals itself in a false messianic idea. The pseudo-ideal of justice, of equality, and fraternity in labor impregnates all its doctrine and activity with a deceptive mysticism, which communicates a zealous and contagious enthusiasm to the multitudes entrapped by delusive promises. You know, especially, he says, it's true in an age like ours, when unusual misery has resulted from the unequal distribution of goods in the world. The pseudo-ideal is even boastfully advanced as if it were responsible for a certain economic progress. Well, true. I mean, there's always been, you know, as a matter of fact, he says, when such progress is at all real, its true causes are quite different. As, for instance, the intensification of industrialism in the countries which were formerly almost without it, the exploitation of immense natural resources, and the use of the most brutal methods to ensure the achievement of gigantic projects with the minimum of expense. Certainly, there's guilt there. There's no doubt about it. But it's also concealed under these seductive trappings. The theoreticians of Bolshevism claim to possess the only genuine interpretation of Marx, for example. And it's just, you know, it's a sad thing that people have today are falling for the same things again. And I think, you know, the church has always tried to speak out on this because, you know, like he says later, communism moreover strips man of his liberty, robs human personality of all its dignity, and removes all the moral restraints that check the eruptions of blind impulse. Wow. Doesn't that work thing out? This, you know, when this was written, I mean, when you think about it, you know, how many years ago was this? And look at what's happening today. Look at how, look at the things that we have normalized in our society. Again, it removes all moral restraints that check the eruptions of blind impulse. You know, what was it, Nike or one of them, you know, if it feels good, do it. Well, you know, or I don't know where that came from, or maybe that wasn't them. It was out there as a slogan some years back. If it feels good, do it. Well, no, not necessarily. That's not what it's about, you know. And I think that's, it kind of reduces us to nothing more than like a cog in the wheel, you know, if you will. I mean, we're just part of, we're an inhuman part of the system, or a part of an inhuman system, more accurately. So I think we're a people. I mean, as Catholics, as Christians, I mean, we have so much to work with, so much history to fall back on, and it's kind of sad. It's not kind of sad. It's extremely sad that we don't look to the history of the church and the dangers that have been put in front of us for so many years and tried to trip us up, and in many cases have. You know, I'm still very, I'm still very optimistic about the future, and I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm a fool, but I'm not. I believe that we are going to survive this. I do believe that that we are. Maybe we have to really feel it in this country in particular, where we really haven't felt this pain too much in the past. We're getting a taste of it now, I think, of what's coming out there. And I do believe that we are a people of, we are an Easter people, but I think that we're going through our Good Friday right now. And I think that's what we have to understand. There is no Easter without Good Friday. And we have to maybe purify our actions and wake up so that we can come in on the other side and be salvation for the world. We can change the world by prayer, by sacrifice, by so many things. Our apostolate is now moving on to its 75th anniversary. It was 1947 where our co-founders came together and founded what this is, a Blue Army of Prayer to counter the Red Army of atheistic communism. That's where it began. And it was a a call 30 years after the apparitions of Fatima to truly, truly bring it to the world. This was after World War II. So the disruption from, you know, the time of the messages of Fatima until the mid-1940s was just absolute disruption in the world. Two world wars and so many, and even another conflict now coming at that point, just soon after that in Korea, then Vietnam. And I think that there was, but there was an understanding. The United States kind of came out on top. We did obviously come out on top, economically at least. And I think, you know, it was incumbent on the Catholics in this country to start a movement that would do that. And you know, we have an understanding that maybe 20, 25 million people signed the pledge, which our founder, John Hafford, worked out with Sister Lucia. And you can do that. You can go to BlueArmy.com, and that pledge is on there, to say the rosary daily, to live in accord with your estate and life, and to pray five decades of the rosary and work towards the fulfillment of the first Saturday's devotion, which Our Lady asked for. So I need to take another break here. And when I come back, I'd like to talk about some of the initiatives that we're looking at for the 75th anniversary, both in primarily in devotion, nocturnal adoration, and the things that bring Eucharistic reparation, which is really the key to salvation and certainly the Fatima message. This is David Carollo sitting in today for Father Anthony on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
This is Bold Talk with Father Thomas Lloyd.
Should politicians who boast, claim to be Catholic, be excommunicated if they openly support and even celebrate abortion and infanticide? Those pushing for excommunication are labeled as right-wing extremists or conservatives. Catholic bishops who waffle or refuse to excommunicate these politicians are labeled as spineless or liberal. Such arguments always come to their usual impasse because they are approached in the usual bipolarism that has become the norm for all discussions in modern Western civilization. That's funny. The last time I looked, bipolar was a mental disorder. Answers are never found by swinging between poles in the continuous dichotomy of winners versus losers, liberals versus conservatives, man versus woman. Answers are found in living in the both and not in the either or. It is a way of looking at things from 360 degrees, a more integrated and comprehensive and therefore honest view. Excommunication is not a punishment. It is not a rod that bishops can decide to use or spare. Actually, the church does not excommunicate. It does not throw people out. The church does not have to do that. Excommunication is simply the church affirming the choice that one of its members has made to stand outside what the church, the mystical body of Christ on earth, is really about. It is just a matter of being honest. A person claiming to be Catholic can be excommunicated for a number of reasons. For example, if they are divorced from their previous Catholic marriage and remarried outside the church. People who have not received the sacraments of baptism and confirmation in the Catholic Church are not in communion with the Catholic Church, and therefore they cannot receive Holy Communion in the Catholic Church. As St. Paul tells us in his first and second letters to the Corinthians, excommunication is intended to be medicinal, always with the hope of the person once again coming back in communion with the Church. Excommunication is also a way the Church protects the integrity of the body of Christ on earth, which was purchased at the price of Jesus Christ's own blood. While excommunication may sting, like all medicine, it is designed to heal. We will be able to understand this only if we can think in terms of the both and not in the either or.
We are the students of St. Stan's La Costa Academy.
Your children can join them for face-to-face classroom instruction. It's not too late to register for the 2021-2022 school year at St. Stan's. Seats are limited. For more information or to schedule a tour, call 773-278-4560. 773-278-4560.
And you're listening to the Winds of Change.
St. Stan's needs your help. We are forming a group of volunteers called St. Stan's Cares to help parish and school families in times of need. To join the group or learn more, please contact Brian at 312-343-3222, and we will plan an upcoming virtual meeting to discuss the details. Almsgiving, it's one of the three pillars of Lent. Volunteer with St. Stan's Cares as a means of almsgiving.
Welcome back. David Carolla sitting here today for Father Anthony on Winds of Change. And when we left off, I was talking about the initiatives that we in the World Apostles had, the Blue Army. You know, 75 years ago, our founders came together, 74 years, we're going into our 75th anniversary, came together to call for that prayer apostolate, okay? And what is it based on? The Fatima messages that said Eucharistic reparation, reparation for sin, primarily Eucharistic reparation. And over the years, we in this apostolate and many others have had all-night vigils of reparation. The Chicago Blue Army has been just stellar with this, with three a month. I know COVID kind of disrupted it, but I think that's all coming back now. And I think we can get more information. You know, our website, bluearmy.com, will give you a lot of information on what's going on, both devotionally and where you can participate in so many of these things. But contact us, because hopefully we can get you to join this army of prayer, which is really who we are, our Catholic army of prayer. We are the church militant. We are here. We are on earth to work out our own salvation. And we do that by helping others. And that's really how it's done. The corporal works of mercy are important, but they're nothing without the spiritual works of mercy. And you have to work for the salvation of souls. And we have two books that we've just republished. The World's Greatest Secret, which I think is just a beautiful book on what is the world's greatest secret. It is, in fact, the Eucharist. And why is it a secret? Well, this beautiful book, which was written by our founder, John Hafford, many years back, we've republished as part of this 75th anniversary push. And we do so to bring about, you know, this goes back, what was the secret? It started in the catacombs, but to this day it's a secret. And why is it a secret? Because in order to understand the Eucharist, you need to have supernatural grace. And that's really what it comes to. When you hear these ideas, these claims that as many as 70% of nominal Catholics do not believe in the real presence, that is beyond scary. But I can imagine that's probably very true, and because maybe perhaps do not have that supernatural grace to understand what it actually is. Reparation in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament is so efficacious, it's hard to really, hard to even imagine. We at the Blue Army Shrine in New Jersey have adoration every day. We have a noon Mass 7 days a week, and then adoration from the end of Mass until 3 p.m. That's 5 days a week, not on the weekends, but we do on Monday through Friday. The Masses are 7 days a week. And, you know, join us on our events. I mean, we broadcast everything now. You can go to our website, bluearmy.com, and connect. Next Monday, for example, is the 13th, and we'll have our Fatima celebrations, September 13th. Events, and they start at noon Eastern time, and at BlueArmy.com you can connect to it. The main celebrant for the day is Bishop Caggiano, the Bishop of Bridgeport, Connecticut. He'll be there for the event, and we do have it's really a beautiful thing to watch with the Rosary procession, the Mass, the Eucharistic procession. The devotions are very strong, and I think we've had just incredible people there this year. Our own Bishop Cecchio of the Diocese of Metuchen. His Eminence Cardinal Burke was there in July, right before he took ill. We still pray for him. I hear he's doing much better, and we hope for a full recovery for His Eminence. He's been such a great friend of our apostolate and all of us in the church, and so it's been good. But you know, now, the other thing we really are moving towards is pushing again the all-night vigils of reparation, as I mentioned earlier. They will be the cornerstone of the 75th anniversary. And just a little bit of a part, we have this book, Night of Love, which was another book written by John Hafford, and again, just republished and updated. But who do we pray for? Well, the format, of course, you see every place does it a little bit different, usually 9 p.m. Mass on Friday, followed by Eucharistic devotions through the night, and in Mass, of course, at 5 a.m. And during the night, there's confessions and the things that go with a whole night of adoration. But what are we praying for? Well, we're praying, obviously, for the salvation of souls. But there's one devotion in there that always touches my heart, and it's called the Night Litany for a Big City. And let me just read a few things that are in there. Who are you praying for? You know, Lord, be merciful. On those beset by temptation, have mercy. On those who have fallen into sin, have mercy. When you think about it, I mean, Friday night to Saturday morning, it's very appropriate because I think a lot of sin does happen on Friday nights. Let's be realistic. It is a night of partying, I guess. And so, you know, on those who are this moment in danger of losing thee forever, have mercy. You know, on victims of sin, have mercy. On those indulging in sinful amusements, have mercy. You know, on those imperiling their souls by self-indulgence and luxury, have mercy. You know, it goes on and on. By those tempted by suicide and the intemperate, have mercy. On those who are out for sin, have mercy. You know, I mean, it goes on and on and on, the whole litany. Those who are sleepless, the insane, those who guide over the doctors on call, priests who are called out this night, have mercy. While we're there, but these people are out being called out to their duties, we can be their support, very much so. And you're praying for maybe somebody who's going to die that night, that they make that last turn to God. There's a proposal in the front of this book, and the author says, is it possible that you can save 1,000 souls during a night of adoration? Well, I was asked that. I did an interview on the book on television just last week. And the first thing he questioned, he said, I read that. And he said, is it realistic that we can save 1,000 souls? And I think depending on your fervor, I believe, yes, absolutely we can. The power of God is infinite. I mean, depending on your fervor, he will release more and more grace. And I think that's really what we have to understand. We have all we are the vessels begging for the grace. Just like we pray for the poor souls in purgatory. They can't pray for themselves. They can't help themselves. They depend on us. But they can pray for us so we can ally ourselves with them, especially working towards the salvation of others, our own, our family, ourselves. First and foremost, you have to work out your own salvation. And I think St. Paul said we have to do it with fear and trembling because it is a serious business. That doesn't mean we have to be melancholy and we can't be happy and we can't be, on the contrary, I think real Christians and real Catholics are the happiest people I've ever known. So I don't think it really has that idea that we live melancholy. There are always melancholy people, but I think that's a little more personality than it is what they're doing. And we are... We're called to that. This apostolate calls us to it. You know, our website, BlueArmy.com, many, many resources. There are people all over. This is, of course, Chicago has been very active for many years. It's very much understood that you know, there's so many wonderful parishes and priests and such in the diocese that have been so supportive over the years as we found other places. In New York, for example, there's one parish which has been holding this all-night vigil for 50 years straight through, every first Friday, first Saturday. I know in Chicago it was typically done away from the first Fridays and first Saturdays so that people would then do the first Saturdays in their own, first Friday, first Saturday in their own parishes, and those promises that go with the first Saturday's devotion. If enough people do it, it will bring about the triumph of the Immaculate Heart. And that when that comes, we'll see the world, I believe, that we really want to see. I mean, the world that is bringing, the promise Our Lady made, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. Don't fret. It's over. It's going to happen. What happens in between is the danger. That's the danger we find ourselves in. Where are we now? And I think we can make it better. We can bring people more to this understanding. We do it by our actions. We do it first and foremost by prayer to get the grace to act properly. And that is really where we have to be. This time, you know, it's like the priest told me in confession last week. He said, maybe you want to stop watching the news. And I think maybe in a way that's true. Don't get lost hearing every detail of the horrible things that are going on. Know what's happening. You have to be informed. There's no doubt about it. Be informed, but then turn to prayer. Instead of watching 2 hours of news shows, say the rosary. I mean, Our Lady asks us, and as far as the Blue Army pledge that I've spoken of, ask for that. So BlueArmy.com for more information. Thank you for listening today. This is David Carollo, and God bless you.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we still shape our truth or sit on the fence? Can't you see? Can't you see? Can't you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell of this strong, but the inside is warm. It's time to be stirred. The time.